Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Well, I tell you, I almost never do series. Those of you know me, you know, in the you know church world, the mega church world, always are doing series, and I'm just not that serious. No, I was very bad. I'm sorry. Somebody walked in and said, "We're ready for the corny jokes to start," and I said, "Well, I gotcha. I got you set here." But I almost never do series. But today we're actually going to start a series, okay? And so it's a little bit unusual. But it's a little bit different. You know, last week was a message that was honestly a little bit hard for me to give, but it was a message that was from the heart. It was talking about a lot of the history here at Beth Hillel, a lot of the history that Paul Blixilver remembers, and a lot of the story of my parents of blessed memory, of coming off my bereavement leave, just thinking about them and reflecting on my own journey at the same time, you know. And it was a lot of introspection in that message for sure. And that having been said, the series of messages that I'm going to be starting today is inspired. Each message that I'm going to be doing in this series, I'm low-key excited about it, is inspired by one of the most common sayings of Rabbi Robert of blessed memory, okay? So this is going to be kind of interesting. As some of you know, OGs know, Rabbi Robert was known for his little sayings. Rabbi Robert was my father of blessed memory and the founding rabbi of the congregation, preached here at this Bima for many, many decades. And he was known for his little sayings, some of which were original and others were just those that he often recited. But the sayings that he gave, all of them conveyed great truths that spoke to me and to so many others as well. So it's interesting. Sometimes he would say things and it'd sometimes be a little repetitive in certain little catchphrases that he might use. And sometimes I hear people say, sometimes he says that, he repeats himself with these little sayings a good bit. You know, wonder why he does that. Well, I'll tell you why, because decades later, people still remember them. Okay. He is still to this day, the guy has not been, it's been 20 years since he was preaching regularly. He's still, and I'll tell you, this is not just me saying this. The rabbis will tell you this. He's still the most quoted rabbi in the Messianic Jewish movement. Period. You go to the rabbis' conference this past year, five different rabbis quoted Rabbi Robert. It's been 20 years since he spoke down there. And he's the most quoted. Now, there's a reason. It's because he said things in a way that could kind of click with us, that would sink deep into our spirits. And so the Lord just kind of led me as I was reflecting upon him and reflecting upon coming back in to do this series and to take, I'm going to take a little phrase that he oftentimes would say, and then I'm going to develop whole messages around each of these sayings in this series. The title of my series, not the title of my message, but the title of my series is The Wisdom of Solomon. So So get ready in the forthcoming weeks, including starting today, to hear some of these little sayings and them how important they are and connected into our lives. Are you ready? Psalm 62. Wonderful. Let's start there. Psalm 62. We're going to go right to a Psalm of David. And really, we're going to spend a little bit of time today getting into the mind of Melech David, getting into the mind of King David. And there's a reason, because he's known as one of the greats. But why is he known as one of the greats? Well, we're going to examine one of the reasons today why he is known as one of the greats. And if we can more emulate some of the things that he does, it will help us in our lives. It will help you in your life spiritually. Okay, it will help you grow. It will help you be strong. Why? Psalm 62, verse 6 says this. It says, "My soul, wait in stillness only for God, for from him comes my expectation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my strong tower. I will not be moved." Very interesting. Okay. A little trivia for you here. This is something kind of interesting and maybe just slightly sad. In the four major United States sports, you know, in the United States, there are four sports where the teams that compete in those sports are considered the best in the world: football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. Okay, those are the four sports where the American teams are the best in the world. Of course, we also compete in soccer, but even the championships in the United States are certainly not the best soccer team. It's not the best soccer team in the world. Whereas in the other four sports, they're considered the four main sports that where you have the best in the world that are playing here. Okay, now if you look at these four main American sports, and then if you look at championships, okay, in terms of like who actually wins the whole thing, who wins the world championship in football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. And if you look at it cumulatively by city, it may come as not much of a surprise to you that New York City leads the total with 50 championships across the four sports. So in the last 100 years, four sports, New York City has 50 world championships. Man, that's a lot. Wow, that's a lot of ticker tape parades in New York City, right? 50. That's a remarkable number, no question. 50 championships. Wow. Okay, you might say, yes, well, that is America's biggest city, so it makes sense they're going to have the most championships, and I agree with you. Okay. But then let's look at some other cities. Boston, which is a big city, but not the biggest. They have 40 world championships across the four sports. In each of the four sports, they have championships. Total of 40, which is a remarkable number. Chicago has 29, the Windy City. Okay, Chicago is big. Now, there's Detroit, Motown. Detroit, which of course is a good bit smaller than Atlanta, has, wait for it, 22 world championships in Detroit. Detroit, Michigan, y'all. Detroit. Even St. Louis has 14. St. Louis, I mean, you know, with the big arch, 14 world championships in St. Louis across the years. Pretty remarkable. Cleveland. Oh my gosh, you've heard Rabbi Eric Lakatos teaches here every year. And when he does, he talks, he's a Messianic rabbi from Cleveland. And the rough thing is, he's not good for the Cleveland, chamber. He comes and he says, "Wow, boy, it's just dreary as usual in Cleveland," is what he said. You know, it's almost like, you know, can anything good come from Cleveland, you know? Well, I know Marty Goetz came from Cleveland. Okay. There can be good things that come from Cleveland. I love Rabbi Eric too. Okay. But the point is, Cleveland's a tiny, very small city. 13 world championships from Cleveland. in different sports. 13 world championships. Really remarkable. Kansas City, small, 6 world championships. Milwaukee, 3. Milwaukee. Even with the Braves world title 4 years ago, friends, Atlanta, 2. Oh my gosh, 2. Are you kidding me? Atlanta has 2 championships, 2. Listen, I know it's not a world championship, but I was actually there when we won the MLS Cup at Atlanta United, so I'll even give them another one for that one. Just trying to be generous here. Okay, 3 or at least 2.5. Okay, so 2.5. I'm trying to be generous. It was an amazing game, by the way. Wow, I'm for, vamos ATL. Okay, but... Okay, but I'm saying here, 2 world championships, maybe 2.5. What? There was an article I read a couple years ago, and they looked at statistically for the number of sports franchises a city has. Atlanta has way, way, way less championships than should be expected proportionally. Okay, it's like wait. I mean, the example, the article is like some cities are overperforming relative to the number of teams they have with championships, and it listed a few, and then they said, and then there's Atlanta. Okay, thanks. That was really. And then there's Atlanta, which is just dramatically underperformed in terms of world championships. And I'm a big sports fan. My son's a big sport. We're big sports fans, right? And so it's interestingly, just to give you the scope of this thing, in Star Trek: The Next Generation, which I reveal something about myself. Brian has a Star Trek badge on his base today. But in Star Trek, The Next Generation, which, okay, I also reveal a little something about myself when I say just that, okay, which I'm a big fan of, Star Trek, The Next Generation, which was on many years ago, of course, the Enterprise, in one of the episodes, the Enterprise, was traveling along and it discovered this ship that had been kind of floating out in space for who knows how long. And when they boarded it, it actually had humans on it who had been frozen in stasis. And as they examined the ship, they realized that the ship had been frozen for 350 years. Over 350 years, these people had been frozen. And so these people were frozen, and yet they did their and they were able to revive them, of course. And so suddenly these people were brought out of, stasis, out of their frozen state, and they woke up and understand that they were from around our time. They're from around our time. So they're actually humans from around our time that were frozen 350 years later. The Enterprise finds them here. This is with Picard and Riker and Data and all those guys. And when they thawed them out, when they thawed out these people, one of the passengers who was on the ship that they unfroze after 350 years, he asked to get an update on a sports team. Which was interesting, which kind of makes sense, actually, if you think about it. And, as opposed to me trying to explain it to you, why don't I just show it to you?
Oh, it's TV.
TV?
Yeah, the boob tube. Well, I'd like to see how the Braves are doing after all this time. Probably still finding ways to lose.
How is it that Star Trek got it right? I mean, he wanted to see how the Braves are doing, but even 350 years in the future, Braves still probably finding ways to lose. Oh my gosh, we're immortalized in Star Trek. Atlanta sports fans, God bless us. Let me be completely honest. I've been a lifelong Atlanta resident and sports fan. And I enjoy watching this, and it's really a great decompressor. And when we are watching Atlanta sports, I've come to expect what is going to happen. I've just come to expect it. Some of you who've been in Atlanta long enough know this. If you're a recent transplant from another part of the country, get ready. Prepare yourself. I've come to expect what's going to happen in Atlanta sports, and it's not good. It's not good. I remember back in, I'll never forget this. God bless him. And I remember in 2017, yeah, my son lost his Atlanta sports innocence. Yes, he was so excited watching the Super Bowl in the third quarter, the Falcons up 28-3. Wow, he was so excited. And you know, just as a kid, you're just so excited. And he was just like, yes, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And he was just so excited. I was like, yeah, okay, it's looking good. I don't know. It's like the middle of the third quarter, right? You know, we're winning by a huge score. There's never been anybody who's lost a game up that much in Super Bowl history. It's a 51st Super Bowl. And it's like, oh, well, he was so excited. Wow. It was so sweet. But then when the choke started to happen, I was like, I could feel it coming. And it was like, oh no, here we go. And we were still up by like two touchdowns. And I'm like, and he's like, oh, we're still winning big. No. And you could just kind of feel it. It was like, wow, I have seen this movie before. All too many times. And it was rough, y'all. It was rough. I mean, shooting straight with you, I'm not really exaggerating. I'm telling you, the look on his face at the end of that game was like, wow, he became an adult today. And it was so crushing. It's like, as bad as I felt actually worse for him. Because it's like, wow, that is a rough entrance into the real world right there. And he just got it with that. And he had been so excited. Wow, he didn't want to hardly speak for a while. And I understood, gave him his space. But when it comes to Atlanta sports, friends, my expectations are quite low. Can you tell? But yet I'm still a big fan. Right. But my expectations are a bit low. And that probably overstates my expectations. I certainly hope and I root, I really do. And I'm, you know, God help me. I'm cautiously excited about how the Hawks are going to do this year. And I think the Falcons are going to be better this year. I really think that both teams are on a good trajectory and made some good moves in the offseason. I think they both got a chance. But I've come to expect that we're going to blow it. Okay. Okay, now that's about sports. It's not so important. But here in the Psalms, friends, here's what I want to point out to you in the Psalms, is that King David says that his soul, and by the way, you can pull up the screen. Thank you, Allison. His soul waits only on God. And he says this, for from him comes his expectation. Did you get this? This is of great importance here. My soul waits only upon God, for from him comes my expectation. So, therefore, he will not be moved. David will not be moved. I have a question for each of you today. Here's the question I have, and let me see some hands. How many of you came here expecting? How many of you came here expecting God to do something? Anybody? One, two, three. Okay, a few of you. Yeah. And some of you were like, whoa, I didn't really know, but I'm not, everybody else is putting their hand up. I'm going to put my hand up. Listen, that's the quote from Rabbi Robert that inspired this message. He said that Rayla will tell you, she's sitting right there. Paul will tell you that, they've heard Rabbi E from early 1980s, both cumulatively, almost every message he's preached. And I figure probably in my time, I heard almost every message he preached. I bet 500 different times I heard him say early in a message, how many of you came here expecting God to do something? Am I right about that? I'm right about that, aren't I? How many of you, boy, he was imparting a sense of expectation in all of us that's based here in the Psalms. How many of you are expecting for God to do something? Because friends, a lot of times people do not expect. He said it like every other week or so here at Beth Hillel. And it imparted something to us. See, my friends, King David was great, for sure. For sure, King David, one of the greats, we all know that. But one of the reasons that he was so great is that he expected for God to move in his life. He had that expectation. It was not a big shock or surprise when God did something in his life because he expected it. He had that expectation. Did you get that? Did you understand that? See, too many people's expectations are based on themselves or on fate. So many people are just expecting things based on kind of what they see. And then they base their expectations on what they do. If I do this, then good things will happen. If I do this, if I, it's all about I. Or some other people, and a lot of people in the world just believe it's all fate. The life is just a roulette wheel. Sometimes it's on black, sometimes it's on red, and you never know, and it's a totally random thing what's going to happen. And, you know, what influence do we really even have on everything? Not true. Not true. One of the main reasons that King David was so great is that he expected God would move in his life. And that didn't mean that things were easy for him, by the way. You know, it might be easy for somebody to say, oh, I'm expecting God to do things. If you're, you know, if you're a billionaire without a care in the world and nothing ever bad has happened to you in your life. Such was not the case with King David when he said he was expecting God to move in his life. How so? King Saul, remember, was trying to kill the guy for no good reason. When I say King Saul, this is not just like, you know, some dude on the street. This was the most powerful man in the world at the time, King Saul. He led the most powerful nation in the world. And here it is. He was trying to kill David for no good reason. But from God was David's expectations. Hello. David's son Absalom tried to take the throne from him. And even really did for a very short amount of time. I mean, just did him dirty, did him bad, right? Cast him out of his throne, his own son. But from God was David's expectations. See, friends, we got to get into David's mindset. If you want to have an overcoming life in the Lord, you can't look at the storm around you. You can't look at the circumstances around you. Get in the mindset of somebody who overcame like this. And he reveals to us, oftentimes through the Psalms, where he almost like speaks out the things that he's thinking, ways in which he became so great. Because King David is expecting things from God. And therefore, he said, I cannot be moved. You see, friends, it's easy to be moved, right? You know, you can be a little bit shaken if your expectations are all about your own circumstances and what you have the ability to do and what the doctor says and what the financial analyst says and what the stock market is doing. Well, you know, it's easy to be shaken on that. No, my friends. If your expectation is in him, whatever. I can't be moved. It explains David so much better. It explains where we need to be so much better. Beloved, if you are expecting God to move in your life, it doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. It just doesn't matter. You know, and I'm not saying that well, you just pretend like that there aren't hard times. No, David had to deal with King Saul. He had to deal with Absalom. It wasn't easy. That's not the point. It's not, you know, pretending that everything's great. You know, you're in the ICU and somebody says, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm great. Never better." You know, it doesn't look like it. No, it's not about that, my friend. Psalm chapter 20. It's about the fact that in him is my expectation. Therefore, I will not be moved. Wow. This is powerful stuff, beloved. Psalm chapter 20. So important, verse 7. King David also says, "Now I know that Adonai saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with saving strength of his right hand. Some have chariots, some have horses, but we remember the name of Adonai, our God." Yeah, other translations say that some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of Adonai, our God. Okay. See, did you come here expecting, you know, did you decide to come to services or when you maybe watch them online, did you simply do it out of obligation? "Well, I have an obligation. I know I should do it. So I'm going to go check. Okay, I did it. And so that's the reason I came." If that's the reason you came, I'm going to tell you something. You're missing out. You're missing out because God has something for you. You didn't come expecting. You got to come expecting for God to do something. Boy, you could have taken that time and caught up on your sleep or read a good book. That would have been better than coming here and just checking a box and not expecting God to do something. Hey, friends, God will do something in your life if you come, especially in these doors. When you walk through those doors, begin to expect for God to do something. And it could be one of many things that God may do in your life or through your life. It may be that he wants to give you an answer to your prayer. Wow, are you expecting for God to do something? Yeah, I'm expecting. God's going to do something here today. Okay, maybe he gives you an answer to your prayer. Praise God. It may be to find encouragement from the Lord. Maybe there's something that's going to be transformative for you where you're going to be encouraged when you walk out of here. Whoa, you were expecting for something good to happen from God. And sure enough, it did. It may be to have a breakthrough in your life. It may be to catch a revelation and you're on your way. It's another Rabbi-ism, by the way. Are you expecting for God to do something? See, here's the truth. Many are not expecting. Why? Because they think that God is way up there, somewhere past Mars or something, or at least above the moon. And that's where God is, and we're way down here, and most of life is random, and we can only expect God. Okay, God, yes, he exists, but we can only expect him to intervene very rarely, very rarely. Perhaps they only think that they can, the only way that they can affect their expectations is by, wait for it, how many horses they have or how many chariots they have. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, you know, hold on. In fact, listen, financial planning is important. I want you to invest. I want you to have your money in a 401k, an IRA, et cetera. Okay, these are good things. These are not bad things. But at the end of the day, that's not where your trust should be. That's not where your expectation should be in the long run. You know, if you go online, you can look at charts as to what you can expect with how much money you have in your 401k now, and you extrapolate that out, and you put in your age, how much you're contributing to it. Here's what you can expect. Okay, listen, that's all well and good, but friends, that's not where your expectations should really be. Hey, guess what? You're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised our next breath. scriptures talk about this. Solomon talks about it, David's son, is that people sometimes accumulate all this and then they die. What good is it? It's vanity, Solomon says. It's meaningless. Right? No. You see, in him has to be our expectation. Amen? Especially when you walk through those doors. Because looking at his chariots is not how King David felt. You need to come to Bethel with an expectation that God is going to do something. I mean, after all, what is a religious service that you walk out of the same way that you walked in? What good is that? That's not what I want for Bethel to be for any of you, for any of us. I want for Bethel to be a place that is transformative in our lives and directs us to above. Then, therefore, we cannot be moved. You see, you wonder how some people can handle it when hard times come, when difficult situations. It doesn't mean that they're just like, oh, well, who cares? No, listen, we're not playing a game here, friends. Yes, I understand hard times come, but still at the end of the day, even through the hardest times where you cannot be moved, only if your expectations are from above. Psalm chapter 5, please. Psalm 5. Psalm 5, another psalm from David. This is such an interesting psalm, relating very much to what we've been talking about. It says, Psalm chapter 5, verse 4 says, Adonai, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I order my prayer before you and watch expectantly. Do you see here? He's given us multiple, you know, it's interesting. The old mystery things, it says sometimes you find crumbs and you can kind of follow the path of the crumbs and you'll see to where you're supposed to go, right? There's that old, okay, he's giving us these clues. Okay, he's given us these clues about how it is that we can have this strength in our lives. And he tells us in multiple places in the Psalms what it is that does it for him, that makes him so great. You know, some of you pray on occasion, maybe on occasion, but expect nothing. You pray because you think, well, I'm supposed to pray. And so, okay, check mark, I prayed. Some of you pray just simply before the meal, bless this food, amen. And what? Some of you pray and, you know, okay, I'm praying for a test, but you really don't even, why are you praying? Why are you even praying if you're not expecting? Why are you even praying? King David here prayed expectantly. Expectantly, he expected for God to do something. See, when he prayed, he was expecting for God to answer him. Now, listen, let me say this very clearly. God is not a vending machine. Can God answer a prayer with no? Yes. Yes, he can. And he sometimes and oftentimes will, because he loves us. But you see, that's the difference, is that many people don't even believe that God listens to their prayers. They think their mentality, and this by the way, is going to set some of you free, what I'm about to say. Get ready. They think that if God doesn't give them what they want when they pray, that God did not answer their prayer. Not true. When my children ask me for something, sometimes I say, no. That doesn't mean that the request was not answered. The request was answered. The answer was no. But Chavarim, you should expect an answer from God no matter what the answer is. So don't be discouraged and think that God does not hear you. expect for God to do something. So sometimes I see people and they say, well, I'm praying, Lord, bring me that Ferrari. In the name of Yeshua, I'm praying for that Ferrari. You know, you're really praying if you start to sing it. Oh, that Ferrari, I'm feeling it. You bless your servant. I'll use it to bless other people. I'll bring people to synagogue very fast in my Ferrari. It turns out you get a Honda. Okay. It's not that God didn't answer you. He answered you. No, but I will give you a Honda.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. David expected to get responses to his prayers. He expected it. And notice the small point. This is something that this is a little bink, a little golden nugget here from Psalm chapter 5, verse 4. Very interesting. Notice carefully. David said that he prayed and then expectantly watched. That's an interesting nuance. Other times he says, I listen. But in this case, he says he prayed and then he expectantly watched. Watched, not heard. Sometimes you see an answer to your prayer. Not always do you hear an answer to your prayer, which is kind of an interesting nuance. It can happen both ways. But remember that God sees the big picture. So it may be that you were praying for that Ferrari, but in the end, you get the Honda. Well, you watched, you saw God's answer. Okay. Well, now his answer was no there, but Lord, thank you for blessing me with that Honda. I dedicate that Honda to you. Thank you, Lord, for that Honda. Hondas are very dependable, by the way. I'm a big fan. Small advertisement there. Daniel chapter 3, please. Daniel 3. Yeah, I mean, it's probably just simply that, you know, if the Lord gave you the Ferrari, you probably should just, you know, give it to the rabbi, for example. It would be very... Wow, that came out of my mouth too, didn't it? I was just thinking it here, but I just didn't know. It's got to... careful. Oh my goodness. Daniel chapter 3. Okay, so don't take expecting for God to do something to mean that you should expect to God to do exactly what you want him to do. King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar from the Tanakh, he was about to send, we're not going to read the whole story, but he was about to send Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to worship the golden image. Okay, but he gave them one last chance. Hey, listen, I'm about to throw you in the fiery furnace. You could feel the heat. And it was right there. And they were about to go into the fiery furnace. You know that that's certain death. But he gave them one last chance, said, listen, I'm going to give you one more chance, boys. Bow to the golden image or I'm tossing you in. Okay, the guys are right there. What do you want to do, Shadrach? Verse 16, Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to answer you concerning this matter. If it is so, our God whom we serve is able to save us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Yet even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image that you set up. Wow, I love that, friends. Boy, I'm going to show you this connection here. See, for these three Jewish boys, in God was their expectation. So they could not be moved. Do you see the connection with David and what he said there, right? Right, because it's clearly in God was their expectation, not the circumstances. In God was their expectation. Oh, some of you are feeling this today in your own lives. you're like, wow, I need that. I needed that. I need to refocus in this way. It's a perspective I've not had as much as I need to. So they could not be moved. So they were so resolved. How does anybody get that resolved? Hamilton, how does anybody get so strong to say, I'm right, I'm at an execution place here, and all I got to do is just, you know, do something. Maybe I'll ask God for forgiveness afterwards, you know. Oh, sorry. You know, but go ahead and just do a quick little bow, and then I can get out of this thing, or I'm going to get tossed in. Come on. It seems like a no-brainer thing to do. They cannot be moved. They could not be moved. They're resolved. Why? Because in him was their expectation. Their expectation was in the Lord. But notice that they said very clearly that God can and will save them, but even if he doesn't, they will not bow. See, there's a deep understanding that these guys had that allowed them to do this. It's because their expectation in God. So if they were to be killed in this way, they knew that they would be with the Lord. So either way, their expectation was in God. Okay. He's going to save us from this fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, doesn't matter. We're not going to bow, because they knew if they got tossed in, you know, turned to ashes, whoop, they're going to be up with the Lord. Wow. I mean, that's their expectation. You see the mindset here. So regardless, they were expecting for God to move in their lives, and they were not moved. So friends, you got to understand, listen, these boys survived. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they survived. David, King David, he made it. God bless him. He survived all these coups and attacks. The thief on the cross next to Yeshua still died. Samson's strength was renewed, but he still perished. Tradition holds that 10 of the original disciples were killed for their faith in Yeshua. Okay, well, let me tell you what all these people had in common. All these people, you'll see every one of them in heaven. That's what's in common. You're going to meet every one of them in heaven. Why? Because from him is our expectation. We're going to see every one of them in heaven. David and the thief. See, when our expectation is in him, the rest doesn't really matter. We can't be moved. This has to be our attitude, especially when we enter this building. You will miss something if you don't come here expecting. Come expecting for God to do something in your life. If you come expecting, you're opening yourself up for God to transform you, to teach you, to mold you. Or for that matter, when we say come expecting for God to do something, it might actually be through you, for God to do something through you. It might be for you to bless somebody else. Maybe one of the reasons you came here today is to meet somebody else to be a blessing to. You see, you come with expectation. Expect to be encouraged. Expect to encourage somebody. Yeah, you walk in this door expecting God's going to do something here today. Either I'm going to learn something great from him. I'm going to grow in my walk. Maybe there's somebody here that I'm going to give an encouraging word to. Somebody here I'm going to help out. Somebody here is going to be a blessing to me. Whatever it is, you're expecting something good to happen from the Lord. Expecting to learn, expecting to hear from the Lord as you're worshiping him. When you worship the Lord during the worship, oh, Lord, you got to expect, you got to walk in those doors and say, man, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord today. Whoo, man, it's almost like Star Trek. You're transported. You're beamed up to the throne room, man. That's what worship is at Bethel El. You're beamed right up there. You're in the throne room of God and you're worshiping him. Just, you know, you close your eyes, you're there. In the presence of God, worshiping, to hear his word. Expect to feel the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh when you walk in this place, the Holy Spirit. Expect to express your love for your Creator when you come here. I'm going to get to dine with my Lord today. I'm going to get to be in the presence and express my love for him today. That's why I came here today. Lord, I came here today because I love you. That's why I came here today, Lord. Whatever you have for me, man, and you are my expectations, but I want you to know, man, you're getting something from the Lord right there. Because if you do, he will answer you and he will reward you. Let me conclude with 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1 says this regarding Messiah. Verse 8, it says, though you have not seen him, speaking to you, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you trust him and are filled with a joy that is glorious beyond words, receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Even though the evidence, my friends, is not seen, you have faith. You expect good things from your God. I'm just going to say it. God is not like Atlanta sports teams. Thank God. You can expect God to do something in your life. He's not going to disappoint. You could take it to the Chase Manhattan of heaven. You can be sure that you will receive the outcome of your faith. It's a sure bet, the salvation of your souls. And that, my friends, will make you immovable. The title of my message is Expecting. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart. If you've never given your life to God, but you'd like to, wherever you are, raise your hand and we'll have a simple prayer. If you've never said yes to God, but you want to today, wow, nothing better you could do in your life. Is there anybody who's never said that prayer but wants to today? Just raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand to our feet and let's take just a moment. I want the musicians to prepare. They're going to be sharing with us and let's get it deep in our Kishkas, a song that's based on that psalm and have our expectations in him.
My soul.
I
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.